And the cool thing about those ones is I found a video on YouTube of Jordan dropping like 46 points on the Bucks. And the shot clocks in my basement are the same shot clocks that were on top of the basket during those games.
Wow. So.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Rob Hathaway, Minnesota Wild mascot coordinator and Daktronics scoreboard enthusiast. He's going to talk about what he does with the Wild, his scoreboard collection, and how it all got started. And we're here today with Rob. Rob, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good. Matt, how you doing over there?
I'm doing good, Justin. Thank you.
All right. So, Rob, you're with the Minnesota Wild. You're their mascot coordinator, and you've also got quite a few scoreboards around your house and in your backyard. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into your current position with the Minnesota Wild?
Yeah, absolutely. I got into the field of sports when I was in high school. My first job in sports was on the tarp crew at Comerica Park in Detroit, Michigan. All through high school, my part-time work was going to the ball field every day and being ready to pull the tarp out onto the field. And that kind of expanded into a career path that I wanted to pursue. And once I got into college, I attended Michigan State University, where I was a part of the Sparty mascot program, which led me into a field of game presentation and just sports entertainment in general. And after a number of seasons working on those types of game day events, it led me to the world of game presentation and ultimately with the Minnesota Wild as the mascot coordinator and in the marketing department with the game presentation crew.
That's quite a story from going from a tarp puller all the way up to helping out with the NHL team like this. I got to know, just because I always see bloopers, how hard, I've heard it's really hard to be able to like run with that tarp and cover up a Major League Baseball field. What is that like?
It's extremely challenging on some nights. You know, if you get a pop-up thunderstorm and all of a sudden the skies just absolutely open up, and the umpire points to us and says, go guys, it's showtime and that's our time to shine. So we'd hustle out to the tarp, or we might be already positioned out there knowing it was coming. And, you know, all hands on deck, you grab those handles, you pull as hard as you can and hope that you don't get a big gust of wind. Cause I'm sure as, you guys, you know, the blooper reel, as you referenced, sometimes that tarp can take off like a sail and, can get kind of dangerous actually, but, all part of the fun, I guess.
Yeah, I imagine you're pulling out there and it's not that easy to pull on it. And then, of course, it's raining, so it's going to be slippery and wet, too, while you're trying to do that. It's a challenging.
Absolutely. Slippery, wet. And I mean, when it starts pouring hard, the water starts accumulating on top of the tarp, which makes it super heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you can see those crews out there. They'll get it halfway across the field and all of a sudden it'll just stick and they can't get any air underneath it. It's a tricky process, and it was a lot of grueling nights on the rainy nights for us too. You know, we'd be out there throwing the infield conditioner to try to soak up some of the water if the umpire was being maybe a little stubborn and wasn't willing to, you know, put the tarp on the field and wait it out for an hour and just wanted to play through it. So, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, being around the ballpark in my high school years was a really great learning experience for me and really, really got me fascinated in the world of sports.
And I was kind of thinking, Justin, as I always say, you know, origin stories a lot, because I'm always fascinated as to how, you know, people's passions or anything like that, how they begin. And, you know, having this kind of helping out with tarp pulling at Comerica Park being, you know, essentially one of your big first experiences in something like this, it sounds like a lot of work, and it was really tough what you did. What was it about even just then that you knew like that this is, I mean, not an avenue that you're going to continue doing that, but that you wanted to be involved in like the game day atmosphere of sports?
I think this goes back to before even then, when I was a really young kid. We used to go downtown Detroit with my parents. They would take us down to Tiger Stadium at the time. This was in the mid 90s.
Okay.
Or Comerica Park, and we would go about the third inning and we'd either get, you know, the $5 ticket, or sometimes if it was a real light crowd, the gatekeeper, you know, he'd just kind of say, you know, go ahead and find an empty seat. And what stuck out to me so much was walking into those stadiums and how bright the lights were, how green the grass was, how like perfectly manicured everything was. And it was just so cool that it was all just for sports, you know, and like, I just wanted to be around it. And it really just never, I never lost that feeling.
And then you ended up with the Minnesota Wild. Can you tell us what a normal game day would be like for you and your role with that team?
Yeah, absolutely. Typically, I would get to the office around 10 a.m. and I'd check my emails, go through any information that needs to be distributed on a game day to some of the other part-time staff that come in around 5 o'clock that evening. And then make sure all of our game day equipment's ready to roll. If we have any particular timeouts where we need, you know, props or inventory, or if we're running a promotion, make sure all that stuff's in line. And then honestly, about 2:30, I head home and I let my dog out and give her dinner and make sure she's all set for the evening. And then I head back to the arena and 5 o'clock, or excuse me, 4 o'clock. We for a 7 o'clock game, we'll have a production meeting. And then one of my favorite parts of the evening, we go to press dining, we have dinner, and then we have about 45 minutes before puck drop, and we just kind of get into things from there.
And you talked about, you know, when you were young and going to a baseball game, the green grass, the lights and everything. Kind of talk a little bit about how, I mean, it's grown to that, and you're now you're in an NHL venue, and describe maybe what is that atmosphere like inside the arena?
It's pretty peaceful prior to gates opening. It's really cool. You know, ice operations is out making sure everything is perfect, you know, between the dashers boards and, just, you know, they got the scoreboards on and the production guys are making sure all the audio and visual is tuned up for, you know, intros and things like that. But just the quiet around the building and having the bright lights on and, just being around that is really exciting. And then it's just the calm before the storm. And then all of a sudden gates open and the music turns on and people are buying concessions and, you know, the building kind of comes to life at that point. And it's just fun to see and be a part of getting that all rolling for our fans and their experience.
Right. And we do have some Daktronics equipment at the Xcel Energy Center there. I want to hear your take on how that impacts the fan experience with that center hung and the crow's nest and the different displays that you guys have around the arena.
It's a huge part of our game day experience. The center hung is a beautiful one of a kind piece. It's got some unique features to it. It's got four little 4 foot diameter circles that are LED that we do some fun stuff with, like, you know, put an eagle in it for the national anthem. We put goal lights in those when we score a goal. The upper and lower rings are our scoring and timing. And then a lot of that stuff gets used for corporate sponsorship and things like that. And those crow's nest displays are very unique to our venue. There's not another facility around that I know that has something like that. They basically wrapped the four main pillars in our building with LED screens. And then additionally on the facades of the crow's nests are ribbon boards. And those are very versatile. They put player headshots on there. They put stats up there. Again, we use them for corporate. We use them for when we score a goal, we throw goal lights on them. They're really cool.
I'm trying to think. I'm not sure. How long have you been with the Minnesota Wild then?
So I started with the Minnesota Wild in January of 13, currently in my 7th season with the organization.
Okay, because I'm trying to think, when did we update the new displays? Was it during that time? Did you see the before and after effects of it?
Yep. So my first two seasons, we were still using the original setup. The original setup was also really cool. It was state of the art when it came into play in 2000. It was a chandelier style looking display. And compared to other venues at that time where you'd see maybe a fixed digit clock and score and maybe penalty or stat boards on each side with, you know, your, you know, pro star display in the middle. Mm-hmm. It was the first of its kind as far as just being an all matrix system. And having the scoring and timing up in the matrix instead of on fixed digits, along with having ribbons. A lot of buildings at that point still just had either fixed signage or just plain concrete facade. XL Energy Center putting the ribbon boards in was kind of a first of its kind.
Yeah, we do have pictures of the before and after that we can share in the show notes from this episode. And also, I was going to say, I've been to a concert up there at the XL Energy Center. I actually proposed to my wife at a concert up there.
What?
So I want to know, what other events do you actually host there? I know you do concerts. I know you do the Wild. Do you know of other events that are held there?
Hockey and concerts are our bread and butter for the most part, but we also have other events. For instance, recently we hosted a blood drive on the arena floor for the COVID-19 situation. We have had our Wild About Children event on the arena floor, which is for our Wild Foundation. It's an event where players are actually the servers, and you can have a table and a player will serve you dinner and bring you drinks and socialize. And it's a really fun event, and it raises a lot of funds for a really good cause with our foundation. And we had the Minnesota Lynx, the WNBA. They played their playoff series a couple years ago. I'm not sure on the year exactly, but we've had basketball. It's a versatile facility. We've had a lot of different things going on, and it's a very busy venue as well.
Yeah, because I think I've been, since all the displays and everything have been upgraded, I think I've been there for like a facility tour. But I remember in high school, we would always go down there because they hosted the state wrestling tournaments at the XL Energy Center too. So it was funny for a while. I told everyone that I've only been there for wrestling meets, but I'd never been there for a hockey game, which just seems That's weird when you're correct. Talking about the XL Energy Center. So
yeah, I should have also added that we have the state high school volleyball tournament, and we also host the tourney, as most know it as, the best hockey tournament, the boys state high school tournament, which is basically a sellout. It's an incredible atmosphere for high school hockey.
And I'm trying to think, you know, you mentioned, Justin asked the question earlier of what is a typical day like, right? But you've talked about all these different events. How is it like for your job, the position you're in, when you have all these different types of things and getting ready for them?
Honestly, for my position in game presentation with the Wild, outside events with the concerts and other things like that, they aren't too impactful on my day-to-day operations. Our offices are just down the street from the arena, so when there's another group that's in the facility using it, it doesn't really slow down or hinder our operations on the Wild side.
Does that include any other events that you might have to do that are special one-off Wild events that you might have to help with the coordinating mascot to be at or anything like that?
I'm trying to think of the event we had a few years ago. We hosted this big drive for, we were basically packing book bags for school students. I think we packed 40,000 book bags with school supplies for students to get back to school and have the right supplies to go back to school with. And we obviously had our mascot there to entertain. We had hundreds, if not a couple thousand, volunteers come across the arena floor that day packing pencils, you know, crayons, all sorts of things into these book bags. And events like that are, you know, they take us out of the hockey game thing and put us into just, you know, it's a community type of thing we're trying to build with the mascot being out there. We're always trying to find ways to be a part of our community. We're always trying to find ways to grow the game of hockey, grow Minnesota Wild, and create a greater state of hockey, really, at the end of the day.
Okay. And I think we're going to switch gears here a little bit. We heard that you kind of like the scoreboards as well and have kind of your own little unique hobby with those. Did you happen to get a piece of that old center hung from the XL Center?
I unfortunately did not. There are a couple of things lying around in a storage room that I know of, but those are, I think, being archived by our curator. The old scoreboard had, I don't want to call them Christmas trees, but they look similar to that. and they kind of ringed around the ribbon on the bottom side of the board.
Okay.
And all those little decorative trees, when they took the old sign down, they pulled those off and we put them into storage for curating purposes. There were also these massive Minnesota Wild primary logos that were up there. They weighed like, you know, 75 pounds. They were big, like 4-foot by 2-foot Wild logos that came down. Those are also in storage right now.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see.
Yeah, it would. I believe we used them for decorations at the Minnesota State Fair last year, actually, at our activation site.
Okay.
So we were bringing them back out for some usage. They're really nice. They're really cool. They're like 3-dimensional.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. We'll see if we can get a picture of those sometime, and maybe we'll have to point them out on one of the old photos that we have of the equipment. But I want to go deeper into this scoreboard collection of yours. You have a collection. How did you get started with all that?
I got started thanks to my mom and dad, actually. So when I was younger, my sisters played travel basketball and we were bouncing around all over the place, gym to gym. And the one thing that I always wanted to look at was the scoreboards when we go into the gym. And I was always hopeful that they would not have someone to run the scoreboard. So then I could run over there and be like, hey, I'll run the scoreboard, because I absolutely love doing that. And for the longest time, I just kept asking my parents, I want a scoreboard. I want a scoreboard. I want a scoreboard. And well, they finally came through one Christmas, and sure as can be, I came down Christmas morning and there was a present about 8 feet by 3 feet, pretty close to your average size scoreboard.
Yeah. And
of course they made me wait. You know, I couldn't open that first.
Yeah. And you had to guess what it was.
I go over there and I'm like, you know, trying to peek at it. And I'm like, you know, pushing my hand against the wrapping paper. And I could, honestly, the one thing that like made me light up is when I felt 4 dots horizontally and I felt 7 dots vertically. And I was going, that is the matrix for a digit.
Nice.
I knew it. And we ended up having to go to my cousin's for dinner that night. We didn't get to it until we got back from dinner. And I just wanted to leave and just go home, cause I wanted to open this thing. And I opened it and I got it. And my sister said, if I woke up with my head sewn to the pillow, I wouldn't be more surprised.
That's pretty good.
So it was a pretty epic Christmas morning that day. And that really honestly just kind of sent it spiraling forward. I was hooked at that point.
Where did they get the scoreboard? I'm so curious. Like, where did they get it? And then I've never heard of anyone wrapping like a scoreboard either in like Christmas wrap.
So I have no idea where this gentleman, his name is Scott. I'll leave it at that. And his company was Motor City Scoreboard Company. And they were out of Madison Heights, Michigan. And every gymnasium that we went to when we'd go to these tournaments or even, you know, these middle school games that myself or my sister played in, the back of the controller had this sticker, Motor City Scoreboard Company. And I finally got my parents to call and make a contact because I was too young. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, they didn't want me to pick up the phone and call some stranger when I'm in third grade.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So it was all up to them. And, this guy and my dad worked out a deal without me knowing it. And, you know, they told me that night they had it out in the garage and at about, you know, hopefully no kids are listening, at about 2 a.m, they carried this thing into the house and, they went through like a bolt and a half of wrapping paper and got it all set up.
Wow. So that was the first one. How did you end up getting the next one and the next one?
The collection just kind of built from there. I knew that there were people that were constantly putting these new ones up and taking old ones down. And I would always keep, you know, inquiring like, hey, what are you doing with that old sign? And they'd say, you know, it's old, you don't want it, it's scrap. And I'm like, I'll take it, you know? And, eventually, I found eBay, and eBay was basically my gold ticket to starting to get these things, because people were just, you know, salvaging them out of gymnasiums. And
so I have to know, were a lot of them still functional when you got them, or did you have to tinker with them to make them work?
A lot of them were functional, other than, you know, maybe needing, I remember I got one shot clock one time, and when I turned it on, I was like, great, this thing is broken. And then I started changing light bulbs and more light bulbs and more, the thing had like 95% of the light bulbs burnt out on it. By the time I changed like 200 light bulbs, the thing was working perfectly. So yeah, there's playing around with these things to get them working. Sometimes it's just a bad digit, and instead of replacing the digit, they'll replace the whole board. And then if I get my hands on it, I can just replace the digit and I have a functioning scoreboard.
I'm still just going back to this vision in my head of you getting the scoreboard for Christmas. So what you said you were in third grade at the time?
I believe third grade.
So when you got this, like you said, so what did you do with it? Did it go back to your room and it was like a nightlight, or what did you do with this thing?
We had, we called it our back room. It was kind of my playroom at the time. I had like a little Tykes basketball hoop back there, and me and my buddies from elementary school and then into middle school, we'd set the timer for like 45 seconds and see how many shots you could hit. And then the next guy would go and it would turn it into a competition, and we put the scores up on the board.
Jeez.
And I always watched a ton of sports too. So, this is kind of where it really got fun for me, is I started turning the scoreboard on while, you know, watching basketball or hockey or football, and I'd run the clock and keep the score. And it became just part of watching sports for me when I was younger. It was a ton of fun. I would, you know, they'd inbound the ball or whatever and start the clock, and someone hit a three, put that up on the board. And, that was a ton of fun. And, my friends got a kick out of it too when they come over and watch games.
Do you remember, like, I'm trying to think, this made me think of those, what are they called, hot shots, those little portable games you tried to get as many baskets as you could before the timer came out? It sounds like that, but roughly like 1,000 times better.
Yeah.
As a kid, that sounds awesome.
And for some reason, they didn't pull the plug on the horn, so about every 60 seconds in my parents' house, there'd be this loud burr, you know, buzz going on. Probably half the neighborhood's wondering what the heck is going on. Is this a fire drill or what?
And they never pulled the plug on it. Your parents didn't come down and say, okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
When it would start going off at like 11, you know, I'd stay up and watch the West Coast games too. I'd be having a blast. Or like when the NCAA tournament would roll around, March Madness. I mean, that scoreboard was on 12, 14 hours a day, and I'd just be in and out of the house running the score and having a blast watching college basketball. And the horn would go off at 11, and then my dad would come down and be like, hey, like, can you not do that?
Can you stop it right before it hits zero, please?
Yeah. So I'd have to click the clock off with like a second left and not let the time expire. And it killed the fun a little bit, but it's fine.
Some parents worry about like their kids making too much noise with like drum sets in their bedrooms, and you got a scoreboard horn that's going off.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Oh man, that would have been a different house to grow up in. So you've got a few scoreboards now. How many do you have total in your collection?
I hate to admit this, but I don't exactly know. I'm guessing on my property right now, I probably have probably 20.
Oh man.
Of different sports, different sizes, types? Like what do you got?
I have portable scoreboards. I have basketball scoreboards. I have shot clocks. I have stat boards. I have parts. I have boxes of parts. That's another thing too, is I constantly am looking for parts or controllers. You know, I got a large collection of, you know, All Sport 5000s, and I got Generation 5 wireless, and I got Generation 6 wireless, and I have, you know, hardwired, and I got non-addressable, and I got addressable, and I have incandescent parts. And obviously the incandescent parts kind of changed towards the end of the 90s when they got into the addressable stuff, when they were transitioning from the 4000 controller to the 5000 controller. It's all over the place. I have some really cool vintage stuff. I have some really nice state-of-the-art brand new stuff. It's all over the board. The collection is kind of whatever I see that attracts my collection. It's something that I try to pick up on.
Nice. And I'm imagining, do you usually watch these events by yourself, or do you invite your buddies over and use the scoreboards with them too?
A little bit of both. Got into motorsports probably about 10 years ago. Okay. And race day on Sunday is a big one for my neighbors and I. We all get together and watch the NASCAR Cup Series race. We get the grill going, we kind of make it a race day experience right out of the back of the house. And it's a ton of fun. We just, it's a nice, relaxing way to enjoy the afternoon and just socialize with some good friends.
Man, Matt's over here shaking his head. I'm thinking he's like, man, I work for Daktronics. I should probably get a scoreboard in my backyard.
This whole thing is fascinating to me right now. This is so cool.
The backyard setup is pretty legit. It kind of all came together last year. It's made up of two Daktronics Galaxy signs. One of them is a 20 millimeter display that is 3 mods by 9 mods, which is, I think, 48 by 144. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% good at math, I guess. But the top section is really cool. It's a 16 millimeter and it's 4 mods by 8. So it's pretty close to being the size of your standard TV. So I can put some basic animations up there and they come in really nice.
I was just going to ask, what kind of messages do you put up there? Is it like when you have your friends over, like, thanks for coming, Carl, or thanks for visiting, Daryl?
I had my boss was dropping off something over at my house one time, and I threw his name up on the board. It's like, welcome to the house, But I'll go on to like Google Images, and I'll put team logos up. I'll put the racetrack logo up. If it's an NCAA event, I'll put the NCAA shield up there. I put, scores, stats, anything that I can, pull off the internet and publish the display, just to kind of make it feel like you're really at the ballpark or at the racetrack or at the arena. It adds to the experience of watching a game. That's for sure.
So you mentioned the racing being a big one. Is that your favorite one to watch with your scoreboards, or do you have a different sport that's your favorite?
Racing is a ton of fun. It's hard for me to pick a favorite though, because, you get to fall and I love watching playoff baseball and I love putting the box score up, and, the top board is tall enough to where I can put all 9 players up as far as, your batting order. And, I'll put, so-and-so is 1 for 3 and, he's playing shortstop. I can get that all lined up there. And that's pretty cool, because when you go into any Major League Baseball stadium, when you look up at the board, they got both lineups on each side of the display. And then obviously the box score underneath. So I just publish a much smaller version of this setup. So really every sport kind of brings out its own unique, fun part. That's what's cool about the Matrix board stuff, is I can turn this display into basically anything I want it to be, depending on what I'm watching. It's really versatile.
So when I'm still thinking about, you're getting involved in the sporting industry, right? Whether it started with, we talked about like tarp pulling. I don't know if I keep calling it that. I don't know if there's a better way you want me to say it, but even thinking that in third grade, you had this experience where you got a scoreboard like this. So, I mean, there's a technical side to you, right? Too. Like, you like to take these things. You're talking about, you have boxes of parts, you like to try and fix things and build things. So it's kind of you're on both sides of kind of the sport spectrum. There's just the things that help entertain fans, but then you're very invested or interested in the technical side as well.
Absolutely. I mean, when you have this many, signs in your possession, things are bound to, need a little bit of, TLC from time to time, especially with how much I use them. So it's good to know how these things work. And honestly, it's fascinating to figure that out. You look at like a 16 column driver, and then you look at the 9 pin on each column, and then you realize, okay, like each one of those pins has a function, obviously, to light up each individual segment. And then obviously you got, another pin that's running power to the whole circuit board. So then when the other pin pops on, the segment lights up. I mean, that's incredible when you're talking about a scoreboard that maybe has 40, 50 digits on it, or a scoring pylon at the racetrack. You got multiple drivers. You got all this information going up there. It's all ran through a real technical firmware. And obviously all that stuff has to be designed, built, installed. I mean, it's incredible, really, what goes into these things from start to finish.
So do you have any goals for your collection of how many scoreboards you want to get? Or are you just always on the lookout for new scoreboards or parts to keep your current collection running?
I'm always on the lookout. Sometimes when something sits for a while, I'll try to move it to make room for a new one. Or if I, you know, purchase a couple new signs, it'll be, you know, time. There's only so much room on my St. Paul lot here. So obviously these displays take up a lot of space. So I try to pick and choose wisely which ones I want to keep around and which ones that, you know, might be able to help someone out. I've been fortunate to be able to help out some organizations that maybe don't have the means to get a scoreboard, but really need one. That's been really cool to be able to have someone reach out to you and say, can you help us out with this project? We have a softball field, or, hey, our gymnasium needs a board, but, you know, it's, you know, just something that isn't quite within our budget type of deal. That's been really fun to work on those smaller projects, but, you know, it's always something that I want to keep a hobby. It's something that, I want to be fun and enjoyable for me. I don't really ever want it to become a chore. And I've been able to find that nice balance, through the years working on these things.
So with all these different types of scoreboards, I mean, and we talked before the episode, we'll definitely need pictures of some of this so that our listeners can see, and we'll put it in the show notes. But, you have all these different types, and you mentioned the different controllers you have. Do you have like a central control room, or like, I feel these are questions we ask people at different stadiums. Like, do you have,
yeah,
can you see the equipment from your control room, or how do you control that stuff?
So my setup is fairly simple for, let's say, the backyard, you know, the Matrix setup. I have one laptop that runs an Ethernet cord out, and then it goes into like a breakout Ethernet setup, and then it runs those two Ethernet cords out to the display. So the Matrix is basically running off of a laptop, and then next to the laptop, I have my AllSport 5000, which is all my scoring and timing information. And then that obviously publishes to the fixed digit displays that I have around the house. See? So it's not as technical as walking into the XL Energy Center control room and you see server racks everywhere
right,
and laptops and control boards. I mean, you go into a place like that and you just wonder how somebody even figures out how it all works, because it's so amazing how it intricate it is.
So what's your favorite part about your collection? I mean, we talked that you have a few here. You like watching a whole bunch of different sports with it. But what's really your favorite part about having the collection?
I think the cool thing about my collection are the unique pieces that I have. A lot of the signs that I have are your typical stock catalog displays. But I do have a couple of unique boards, custom boards that were made for facilities that you can't, you know, just order out of the catalog. A couple of those that come to mind. I don't know if have you guys gotten into the Last Dance series with Michael Jordan on ESPN?
I'm on episode 4 right now. Have you started?
I'm waiting to binge watch all at once.
Oh, it's really good so far, but
okay.
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun. And one of the cool things about watching that is, for me personally, is seeing all the arenas in the 90s and all the incandescent equipment. It's just ridiculous that those were the tools for game presentation in the 90s. You think of how elaborate all the setups are now. The stuff back in the 90s, you're like, how did they make that work? You know, with just spotlights and music, but they still pulled an incredible work off. But I have a set of shot clocks out of the Milwaukee Bradley Center. They were in use through the late 90s, early 2000s. I think they were in use until the NBA mandated that the shot clocks become four-sided. And they're incandescent. They're two-sided. They have the little light bulb goal light on the top. And the cool thing about those ones is I found a video on YouTube of Jordan dropping like 46 points on the Bucks. And the shot clocks in my basement are the same shot clocks that were on top of the basket during those games.
Wow.
So It's fun to say, like, yeah, that set of shot clocks were used during, you know, the Jordan era when they were playing up there at the Bradley Center. I get a kick out of just the background that those signs have. I also have a really cool display that came out of the Atlanta, Georgia Dome. It's one section from the four-sided center hung that they used for the SEC tournament games that they played there, the basketball games. And it also was used for a Final Four.
Whoa, that's cool.
Sounds like quite the museum type of stuff you got going on here.
Yeah.
Have you ever been out to visit us at Dectronics in Brookings at all?
It's a bucket list trip that I would love to make. I've not had the opportunity to do that yet, though.
No, we're thinking about, I mean, when things return to the new normal, right? Being able to travel and come out here and see it again, because we had, I can't remember how many years ago when you're talking about scoreboards in certain areas, we had got a piece of the center hung scoreboard for the Miracle on Ice during the 1980 Winter Olympics. So we have that set up in our manufacturing plant right now. And that's just kind of what came to my mind as you were going through the different things that you have as well.
That board is amazing. I remember reading up on when the ice arena, they finally decided to pull that down. They put a nice Dactronics video display up in its place. And I've seen a couple pictures of that board attached to the wall there in Brookings. And I think it's really cool to preserve those types of things, especially something like that, where it served a purpose for such a historic sports event. It's something that should be preserved and should be appreciated. And I think it's great that a piece of that ended up in Brookings.
So yeah, we'll have to get you down here for a tour, and we can look at that scoreboard and from the Lake Placid Olympics. And also, I think Matt's been mentally making a road trip up to see your place just to experience a game up there with all your scoreboards and stuff.
Oh man, that'd be a fun trip. You get a twofer, you know, come for a Wild game, check out XL Energy Center, check out the control room, stop by the Dactronics collection over here and check that out.
Absolutely. I don't know how the seasons line up, but if there's a NASCAR race on at that same time when I'm up there, to see what that experience is like.
That would be, race day is a lot of fun around here, guys. I'm not going to lie.
It sounds fun. But Rob, we want to thank you for coming on here to talk about your collection and the game day with Minnesota Wild.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dectronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.